Morning. It's good to see lots of familiar faces. We've missed you.
A lot.
Yeah. In looking at this parable, we were reflecting on some people that we worked with in Zambia and some specific stories, and so those are the things that we would like to share with you this morning. One conversation I had with another MCC worker in an airport about maybe two years ago came to mind as I read the scripture for today. This parable talking about righteousness and humility. And this is someone who has worked with MCC in a variety of roles for over 20 years. I don't know how many years he's worked with the organization. And he talked about, with MCC's focus on listening and learning and trying to work with local partners, kind of community-directed work, that he thinks it's a good focus, but that we who are coming from North America going to other parts of the world often come with what he called a false humility. And he talked about this and how he saw this kind of played out, and just hearing him talk about it, I got my wheels spinning a little bit and thinking about false humility. What does that look like? What does that feel like? He's done a lot of work in Southern Africa and trying to help MCC specifically look at kind of the legacy of colonialism and how that affects how we work in different parts of the world, and specifically in Southern Africa. So it was a good conversation. He's one that asks lots of questions, and like I think many of you here, we don't have the answers, but it's good to ask those questions and to not run away from some of those questions. So even after that talk, for, you know, off and on, different times, different months, even now, I think back to that conversation and what does that mean for how I work and relate wherever I am? Do I carry with me a sense of false humility? And how can I have a more truer sense, a more truer humility in how I approach my work wherever I am or what I'm involved with? In our work in Zambia, we partnered primarily with the Brethren in Christ Church in Zambia, which is the Anabaptist church that MCC works with as the primary partner there. And in our work, we had a lot of contact with church leaders from the BIC, the Brethren in Christ Church of Zambia. And it was interesting for us, our work in Tanzania and Kajungu being from Tanzania, we already knew that church leaders in that context have a lot of authority and power. So, Carl, if you're looking for that, you can maybe change your location. I don't know. But there's a lot of, the communities, and even outside the congregations, there's a lot of respect for church leaders, and that they have authority in decision making. If there's conflicts in the household level or even within the community, you know, they'll call in the the church leaders to help them solve that conflict. And they have a lot of decision-making power that is kind of given to them by the communities where they work. A little different than maybe what we're used to here. And so again, as we were thinking about reflecting on stories of humility and thinking of our work with church leaders, there were some people that stood out to us that really approached their role with humility. And those are some of the stories that we want to talk about today. Church leaders, and also Kajunga will share about a specific, the head of the prison in Choma, where we were. He worked with the prison in a variety of ways. And the head of the prison there, Mr. Kafupi, had a very different attitude towards his work than most of the people that work in the prison system in Zambia. Again, those people have a lot of authority bestowed upon them. They have control over large numbers of people that have extremely limited resources. But his approach was very, very different than what the majority were. So that's what we would like to talk about. And I'll let Kajungu share some of those specific stories.
So the first said, "I'm not like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like these tax collectors." I don't know how he looked like, how he was pointing even these tax collectors. I heard the same statement at Choma Prison. Some officers say, "By the way, he's just a prisoner." So that means he's not a human being. That's the life most of inmates or prisoners are experiencing. But it was a different story when I start to work with the officer in charge or warden, the person who is the boss of that area, Mr. Brett Kafupi. And one day I heard he said, "These are my children. I have 410 children here. And of course, I have 4 children at home." So he was taking those inmates as his children, not in a political way, but in a practical way. Starting a peace club in a prison is not easy, because in one way or another, some officers will think that you are taking power from them. But for this person, it was different to accept a peace club in prison, because he cared about those people. So he allowed us to start a peace club. It was powerful. We started with 35 inmates. And how we elected those inmates, I worked together with the chaplain from that prison. We agreed that those bullies, those who are fighting in the prison, should be a peace club members. Because we believed that if we train them how to deal with the conflict, how to intervene when people are fighting, people will learn from them. If they were fighting yesterday, and today people seeing them talking about peace, it will be very easy to change people's mind. So they did an amazing job. It was a story around Zambia, and almost every person wanted the peace club from the story which they heard from that area. Inmates changed their behavior, which was powerful. This man was receiving a lot of cases every day. Someone stole my property. But when we started the peace club over there, he didn't hear much of the cases. And one day he said, "Kajung, what is going on here? I don't receive cases nowadays." And I said, "Let's find out." Yes, people were fighting. People were stealing each other. But the peace club member was intervene and resolve issue inside the prison instead of taking everything to the officer in charge. It was a history. Every year, 3 or 4 times, the president release some inmates. They call it presidential pardon. They are looking for two things: behavior of the person and the nature of the case that brought him or her in the prison. For him, at his place, it was easy to pick some inmates who have changed their behavior. He got the highest number in Zambia during the president pardon. And again, it was another question: what's going on in this prison from other prison? And they found out that inmates themselves are doing amazing things. But remember, if it wasn't the officer in charge, the person who had power to say yes or no, nothing could happen. His children, 410 children. These Peace Club members, some of them, when they finished their time in prison, and when they went back to the community, they started the Peace Club in the community. So look, this is the story. Most of the time we take a peace message to prison, but it was different that this person who has been in prison for many years, he's taking peace information to the community. He went and teach people in the community about peace. So instead of people running away from him, you're a bad person, you're in prison, people are looking forward and sit around him and learn from him. What do you have? All in all, it's because of this man who had the power to say yes or no to start a peace club in the prison. Last week I got a message. One of the inmates, I know him very well. He was released, and he just started a peace club in the community. And he has like 28 peace club member from the community. Again, how do we use our power to empower others? For me, for us, this was amazing story. The officer in charge, the big person, when people see him, they do like this, but he was humble to make sure that these people are not here to destroy their future, but they are here to create their future, to be bright. Very few people can think like that. He realized that in order to empower these people, we needed to give them education. He told them, whoever wants to go to school while you're here, you're welcome. So that is your 2% that you're sending to us, made a lot of change in the prison. Some inmates started to take elementary school level education. Others, they did examination very well, they passed. They went to high school, secondary school, which is high school. They passed. There's one lady, he started his higher education in the prison. When she was released, she went direct to the education college. So thank you so much for your 2%. It made a change. It is 2%, but for us, it was even not 100%. I'm not a mathematician. If I was a mathematician, I could publish my book and say there is 500%, not 100%. So thank you so much. So this is a person which we learned a lot from him. And we are moving with his example in our daily lives. When we are doing a workshop in prison, we invited different people to come and speak with these inmates because we are training them in 5 modules. And in order to be a Peace Club member, they are supposed to go through those 5 modules. And at the end of the day, they graduate and they get certificate and they recognize that this is a peacemakers or peace builders, whatever you mention. So when they go to the community, they go with that certificate, show that I have something I can share with you in the community. So this is the person from Brethren Christ Church. He's a chaplain from the hostel. I invited him to come and facilitate on trauma and healing. He's the chaplain, first of all. He's a pastor. Carol, do you know, to be a pastor in America is not cool. You don't have much power, but back over there, if you're a pastor, people worshiping you. But he took that power outside of him. When he was facilitating, he was like a prisoner inside over there. I remember that one day he was facilitating about memories and how memories can affect someone in lives. And when he was facilitating, one inmate started to cry. In Africa, man to cry is a shame. And the people would ask, what's wrong with you? Are you a woman? And the other inmate say, no, don't cry, don't cry. And this man said, no, let him cry. And he gave him chance to cry. And after that, this chaplain went and sit closer to him and hugged him. And I said, how do you feel? The man said, I feel good. This is the man who was able to listen with compassion. Not to listen in order to answer, but he was listening in order to understand. He is totally different from other people with authority like him. He had the power as a chaplain to say, do 1, 2, 3, and you will succeed. Instead, he asked them, what do you think you can do in order to move ahead? So all I want to say, how do we use our power to empower others, rather than use our power to abuse others? So again, thank you so much for your 2%. And also, I don't see my very friend of mine here. She usually sits somewhere over there, Karen Schenk. She was, and she is my, I don't know what to say, my amazing professor. Whatever I was doing in Zambia is because of her. And I was communicating with her someday. I said, whatever credit I'm getting here, it's yours, it's not me. I'm doing what you prepared me to do. So thank you for her, even though she's not here. And may God bless her. And may God bless you.
We'll see her tomorrow.
And I'm going to see her tomorrow. At least. I can't leave here without seeing her. So working with prison, it was amazing. And I thank you again for preparing us, for your prayers, for your supporting. And may God bless you.